It's very good to be with you today, and I'm delighted Laura could fly with me and join us. My mother is living with us in Texas, and Heidi and her new husband, Matthew, are staying at our house with my mom, who does not fly, otherwise we might have brought her along too. But anyway, I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning thinking that I would wake up working on the introduction to the sermon, which is my normal thing. I usually don't prepare an outline for the introduction ahead of, because it when I do, I always change it from what I wake up Sunday morning with anyway. But this morning, it was Mother's Day that was on my mind. And so I grabbed my iPad, slipped up in bed, just seated there, and grabbed the iPad and started writing. And here's a couple of free thoughts on Mother's Day before we start the message here, if you will. You know that the first Mother's Day was celebrated in the Garden of Eden. And I was reminded that it even was honored, or Eve was honored, as the mother of all living before she even had children. And so that was a little different twist on Mother's Day, or recognizing the first mother. And I was thinking, now Adam had a name for Eve before he called her the personal name Eve, which means mother of all living. So what did he call Eve before that? Well, God prepared Eve for Adam and presented Eve to Adam, and Adam was in the midst of naming the other created animals, and now he knew right away that Eve was different than the animals, okay? But he saw Eve, and he called her woman. Now, that's our English word for the generic version of, it's a play on his own name, because Adam's personal name was Adam, which means son of the red earth or the son of the soil, but his generic name was man. So he looked at Eve for the first time and he said, "Whoa, man." He was delighted. And so I thought that was pretty special, moms, for the husband and future father to recognize with such awestruckness your position and presence and place in his life. Now, some of you are saying, "Dwight, Adam didn't speak English, right?" So that's not what he said. All right, let's go to the Hebrew. So the generic word for man is ish, and the generic form for the woman is ish-ah. So there you have it. The respect, the awestruckness of Adam for recognizing Mother's Day for the creation going forward. All right. Was that worth it? Okay, I thought so. I was blessed this morning writing that down. Now, we're looking at Isaiah chapter 26, and this is an exciting chapter. I have found each of the chapters, as I've been studying them, preparing messages on them, to be just loaded with life-changing, life-giving truths packed into every chapter. There's a fair amount of historical data, and there's a fair amount of repetition that comes chapter by chapter with regard to God's judgment of sin. But As Jesus quoted more from the prophet Isaiah than any other Old Testament book, we see, even in today's message, that the life-giving truths of the Savior as the Redeemer and Savior of all the world are evident in this chapter. And I'm going to direct our attention to just two verses of the 11 verses that Stephen read for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to receive the truths of your word, that we would be encouraged and strengthened in faith, the faith of Christ, that we would be equipped and edified to go from here with the power of the strength of the knowledge in the application of your word by your grace to our lives, to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So verses 3 and 4 are the nugget of life-changing truth that is timeless. This was written hundreds of years before Christ came. And it is speaking, though, of eternal truth that finds its fulfillment and embodiment in the Prince of Peace and Jesus, the Lord of life. So rereading verses 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And on this side of the study notes, let's look at just the meaning of the word mind. And if you follow the blue box lines over, you see five verses there that give us a scriptural commentary on the use of this word mind. So from the Old Testament, which is the same Hebrew word being used, we see from Genesis 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent, and that's that word translated mind in our Isaiah passage, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what was mankind's thoughts stayed on at Genesis 6 time period? It was not on the Lord, it was on evil continually. Genesis chapter 8, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That is to say, it's the same Hebrew word, mind. The mind of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so everyone is born a sinner. And so this is present in everyone's life that has descended from Adam and Eve. This sets the framework and the backdrop of the challenge that we have with our mind and our intent and imagination and the things, the fabric of our framing, our worldview, and how we approach life, all of that wrapped up in this Hebrew word. Psalm 103 says, for he knows, that is God, knows our frame, and that's the same word for mind. He remembers that we are dust. And so in our frailty, in our weakness, the designer knows how to remedy that, and Isaiah is giving us teaching truth that will be God's prescription for remedying our thoughts and our minds. Now, from the New Testament, and obviously this is a Greek word and not a Hebrew word, but in English we have the word mind in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now we have the key and the clue to the substance of what our thoughts and our engagement of our intellect and the thinking of our spirit and soul should be focused on. And for 1 Corinthians 2:16, we read, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Oh, that is so encouraging that we don't have to manufacture this understanding of what it is to have our mind stayed upon Jehovah, our thoughts centered and focused on him, because he has given us the ability and the truth and the fulfillment of that in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now turn to the second side. And this whole side of your study notes is an expansion of the understanding of our what it means to be keeping our mind upon the Lord in perfect peace. And so you have some of the other key words in this verse in that top box. And let's go down to the fourth one, stayed. So the verse reads, "You will keep him," or "God will keep him in perfect peace." And the him is anybody, man, woman, boy or girl. "God will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Now, the definition of the word "stayed" is very helpful. It means to lean upon, to lay upon, to rest upon, and be supported by. And I have three illustrations up here on the table that I hope will help make this truth stick with us a little bit longer. And so working with some dear people ahead of time who brought these, I didn't bring these on the plane. I could have. I'm sure there's a way to do that, but thank you for bringing the crutches here today. Now, they are a little short for me. Anybody had experience walking on crutches and would just come up here and put them in place while I talk about you and the crutches? It's not a speaking part, so anybody volunteer? Okay. Oh. All right. So, and they're about the right height. So, Lorene, if you had a broken leg and it was up and you couldn't put any weight on it, what would be the technique for the crutch to help you to walk? You can explain it to us.
Sure. You would simply use the crutches would bear your weight as you were swinging the weight-bearing leg.
Okay.
And the non-weight-bearing leg would be.
Okay. Now look at her feet when she takes a couple more crutch steps here. All right. Now, did you notice that there is a split second where both feet are off the ground? Did you notice it? And that is the point of spiritual application for resting and trusting in, putting your faith and confidence in these crutches. It's not while you're standing there, you know, the crutches, you're not trusting in them.
Right.
It's at that moment where it's solely the crutches that are supporting you that illustrates this aspect of having your mind stayed upon and leaning on and trusting in God. All right, thank you.
Great illustration.
Thank you, yes. Now, before we move to the second illustration here, let me just set the picture, and you have it before you on the study sheets here. How do we keep our minds fixed upon the Lord? So we understand that stayed upon the Lord means to trust fully, completely, 100% upon him, and then you are experiencing the benefit and the actual fulfillment of staying upon your mind upon him. Well, I would draw our attention to the Word of God. And so we have the biggest Bible. Actually, I have one in Texas that is this much wider and this much taller. It's really a coffee book centerpiece, you know, or coffee table centerpiece that you don't see in houses these days. You know, it was a thing from the 50s and 60s, I think, more so. But one way that we could trust fully in the Word of God and remember to do it would be to take this around with us every day, everywhere we go, and keep it open and reading it all the time. Now, for the things that we do every day, how practical is it to do everything? Your routine in the bathroom and getting ready in the morning and breakfast and whatever you're doing. How can you keep your mind stayed upon the Word of God, stayed upon Jehovah, stayed upon the Lord Jesus? Well, it's hard to do this. I would say it's probably impossible to take the physical printed Bible with you everywhere. Now, Gene and Bill and some other Gideons, you would have the Gideon New Testament, and you do take it. What, do you have a pocket in your pajamas for it? Probably not, but it's there close to the bed, right? And so, but even that, carrying a small version of it, and guess what? I left my phone over there, but the Bible, the full Bible, in fact, all the languages that we heard this morning and many, many more are in that small device. And so I can carry it literally. And it also has the audio version of the Bible. I could have an earbud in and listen to the Word of God continuously. And some of us in our homes do play the scriptures in the background for times of our day, and that's good. But that, again, is impractical from the standpoint that you can't be listening to it all the time just to fulfill the requirement of keeping your mind stayed upon the Lord, right? It's just not practical. So are we left without hope or a way or a means of keeping our minds stayed upon the Lord? Well, I would suggest that the closest way would be to hide God's Word in your heart and memorize it and then meditate it, meditate upon it. And throughout the day in your situations of life, pray without ceasing and keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that regard, I have a third illustration to help us to remember to see all of life through the lenses of God's words. Now, this is very practical to me, and I think it is to Bill Storm. He and I were talking about this before the service started with his recent cataract surgery and new lenses put into his eyes. He sees all of life a little bit more clearly now than he did how many weeks ago? 2 months ago, all right? And he's encouraged by seeing things more clearly through a different set of lenses. Now, if you look at life through the lenses of Scripture, you can approach every life situation, relationships within the family, your business, life, and enterprises, your church, family, involvements, all of life, everything that's happening to us, every moment of the day has something that the scriptures can give you guidance for those very things, right? Wouldn't you agree? And so to have the knowledge of the scriptures in your heart and in your mind, in your consciousness, in your imaginations, in your thoughts, that's it. That's how you can keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. And His Word is to hide it in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ Himself dwelling within us, uses that Word as the sword of the Spirit and plunges it into the deepest crevices of our life and changes us and washes us and renews us by the Word of God, the living Word of God, which is revealed from the written Word of God. And so continually through the day, I mentioned praying without ceasing. If the Spirit prompts you, or even of your own remembering to do it, how about just uttering a quickie, silent prayer on everything new that you are about to begin throughout the day? It takes 2 seconds to just re-engage. Lord, help me brush my teeth. Lord, help me. I'm just going to have a conversation. Lord, help me. And just to commit every movement and every change of the day and what you're doing to the Lord. Wouldn't that help keep your focus on the Lord and stayed upon the Lord and trusting and leaning upon the Lord to apply His Word to the ordinary, regular things of life? So back to the lenses. I've had a lot of work on my eyes over the years. I haven't had cataract surgery yet, and it's probably, Lord tarrying, His coming around the corner for me at some point. I have soft, slow-moving cataracts, but I had a very significant eye surgery. Some of you may remember several years ago, full retinal detachment in this right eye, and had surgery on the eye, and that really helped. I had lost the vision in the right eye, and after that surgery, I can now see through this eye still, after years and years. I'm very grateful for that. But in the passage of time, I've had to come to rely, because I don't have new lenses in. So when I'm deer hunting, and I actually don't have those frames with me, I just decided I would limit the number of eyeglasses pieces I was bringing. But when I preached this message to our church down in Texas, I had 8 different lenses, including my welding glasses, you know, for arc welding. I brought those to the sermon that day. But you can imagine, if you had the right lenses for everything that you were doing in life, how that would help you to have lenses that help you see clearly the issue and the matter at hand. That's, folks, what the Word of God does for us. The living Word of God, Jesus Christ, whose mind we have access to by the Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ. We have the lens of life that He has given us for all of the issues of life. So these particular ones are my newest glasses. And I take that back. These are the second newest glasses. The next ones I'll bring out are my newest ones. But I use all 3 of the frames that I have here today every day. Okay, so some of you have progressive lenses, you know, that instead of bifocals or trifocals, And I tried those once, and I didn't like the side effects of the progressives. You lose the peripheral vision, and you still have to adjust your neck a little bit, even with the progressives, to find that sweet spot for what you're doing. So I've chosen to stick with the bifocals and the trifocals. But this set is golden. This set helps me to be at my computer. Now, all of you are fuzzy to me right now, but arm's length, it is golden. So the computer screen is just this. These lenses unlock the computer screen for me. And I can see things on my screen that I wouldn't see otherwise. Also, they're blue blocking, so it's giving me protection from the damaging effect. And so to see things from God's Word clearly in focus, things that are closer to you, up front and close and personal to you, is meaningful. And God's Word will help us do that. The lower lenses of these are for the keyboard. Now, I don't look at my fingers very often on the keyboard, but just in case I needed to, the lower lenses are focused right here. And so these bifocals are priceless, and I really feel it acutely if I go to the office without this set of lenses. Now, when I'm driving to work, these are my newest glasses. Now you are in perfect focus, all right? These are my driving glasses for out on the road. And I can see things coming in the distance. As far as I can see things that are coming in the future, that are coming my way. And the Word of God gives us a vision of the future. Hallelujah, that God has not left us without knowledge of things that are coming our way. And so through the lenses of Scripture, we can keep our minds focused on the Lord for things that are yet to reach us, the future things. And how would it affect our lives every day if the choices that we're making now that we know are going to affect us in the future, we make it in light of God's Word? It would be life-changing to have that assurance that we have the backing of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our futures. Now, sometimes for seeing long distance, another lens can be, in my case, attached to these driving lenses that help me see even more clearly when there is distortion or when there is competition for my focus because of, in this case, these are sun glasses, and they're polarized, and so that stops the glare. A lot of things in this world are very alluring and attention-grabbing and are, frankly, distractions to our lives. And to have the Word of God be our protection and our shelter from the distractions and the allurements of life that would get our attention and hold our attention wrongly and take that attention off the Lord, if that can be avoided by the lens of God's Word, hallelujah. He's given us the solution for conquering the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the temptations of this world. Now, the last set here is the one that I wear normally, and these are the only trifocals in my set of glasses. And the trifocal gives me the ability to have a measure of success of lens viewing and clearness at all the levels. The bottom one is the close-up for reading the Bible, for instance. I would be looking at through the bottom ones. The top ones are the distance, and if it's a cloudy day and I don't need the sunglasses, I can just wear these even while driving, and it's perfect vision, relatively perfect, you know, for the distance. Now, the center one of these glasses are a little bit different than the other two pairs. The center one gives me insight into other people's lives. And so after the service, if I'm talking to you and you see me go like this and look at you, I'm seeing right through you. And I will know, as God knows you. No, I won't. But I'm saying that the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts, the intents of the heart. And if the spiritual counselor will take the Word of God into a conversation with anybody else, the Word of God will reveal to you, and hopefully even more so to them, what manner of person they are, and reveal the truth that will set them free. And the problems in life, whether they're health problems or financial problems or personal problems, relational problems, the key, the first key, is identifying the problem, right? If you don't know what the problem is, how can you address it? And the Word of God as a lens helps us to find and identify the problems in our lives. And then it gives us a solution. Praise the Lord for the lenses of the Word of God. Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees of his day in Matthew chapter 23. We won't read the passage, but essentially, if you would condense one of the messages of this passage down, is that these folks who desire to be seen of men as having their whole focus on Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, and they weren't doing it in reality, they had a formula religion of checklists and their formula for pretending to be, have their focus stayed upon Jehovah. And Jesus just cut them to shreds because outwardly they were walking correctly, so to speak. And they had the correct outward lenses that they were wearing. It wasn't eyeglasses in those days, but it was things like what they call phylacteries. I saw a man at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, both in 1988 when I went there and 2019 when I went there, had a box wrapped around their forehead. The box was right on the forehead with a strap holding the box there. And in that box, they have little scripture scrolls in fulfillment of the command to keep their mind stayed upon the Lord and his word. And Jesus refers to the phylacteries in this Matthew 23, strapped around their hands and their arms. And sometimes you see, I think Jerry Benjamin even brought phylacteries one time years ago to a service here at Christ Fellowship Church. But those are all externals. Folks, what we're talking about here today is not you coming up in your own strength to keep your mind focused on these things that will give you everlasting peace and life. Everlasting peace and life is only in the person of Jesus Christ himself. And so if we're going to have and experience the truth of everlasting perfect peace, or the shalom is the word for peace here, tranquility, completeness, soundness, contentment, welfare, peace, quiet, good health, spiritual health particularly, it is only through Jesus Christ himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the Prince of Peace. And so as you have Jesus and your focus is on him, you have peace and everlasting strength, trusting in him. Jesus said in fulfillment, or as an illustration of Isaiah's last statement here in verses 10 and 11, let grace be shown to the wicked, yet the wicked will not learn. And so Jesus said on that last week that he was there in Jerusalem before his crucifixion, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. I was willing, but you were not willing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would see in our hearts a willingness to keep our focus fixed upon Jesus. Help us in the everyday parts of our lives to have your word surround us, coming at us from within because we've hidden your word there, coming at us in a spiritual reality sense from the Spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ dwelling within us. Help us to access these eternal, omnipotent, omniscient qualities that you share with us in the moments that we are fully trusting in you. It's not us, but it's you. Help us to be able to apply these truths in a practical sense every day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.